Hey, the Jay Thomas Show podcast is coming up, and it's brought to you by Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. I've been a customer now for years. Hot Tub Vinny is hanging out with me. Vinny, I just want to talk real quick here before we get to the Jay Thomas Show podcast. How did you get in this business? How long have you been doing this?
Been doing it for 26 years. It's been in the Fargo area, the store I bought, 47 years with one brand, Hot Springs in Findlay. And long story how I got into it, we'll save that for another day, but I'm glad I'm into it because we're really in the wellness business and every day made better. And that's what we strive for every day, not only for our customers, but for those of us that work there too, because it's beyond the hot tub, it's beyond the sauna, and that's what makes it great.
So many of my listeners have become customers of Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too, and not one of them has ever told me they've had a bad experience. They are so happy that they walked into your showroom and they got, whether it's a hot tub or a sauna or the splash super pool, they are ecstatic over the product and the service that comes with it, the help if you need help, which you really never do need help because these products are so well made, but you're always there for the client. And you're not going to have a bad experience. And you have a man that owns these this business, been doing it for years, and his employees are trained constantly to be able to answer and help you with your issues. I'm telling you, Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too. Walk in that store, you will never regret it. Where are you located?
We're in West Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks.
There you go. Thanks, Hot Tub Vinny.
You're welcome.
All right, now the Jay Thomas Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody. It's your favorite Timu J. Thomas, Patrick Kirby, filling in for J. Thomas today. How is everybody out in the rainy Memorial Day weekend kickoff? I'm excited to be in the chair. Ronnie, it's good to see you again. It's been, two and a half hours.
Yep, yeah.
Exactly. I missed you.
Yes.
I have spent an inordinate amount of time here at the station over the last day and a half, and I have loved every minute of it. So thanks for hanging out with us on a Friday. We have a delightful show for you today, teaming with guests all over the place. We're going to meet, I'm going to introduce you to one of my favorite human beings in the 2:30 hour. He's back, and his name is Travis Tolliver. He has now joined the crew over at the Red River Valley Fair. And one of my favorite human beings, spent a lot of time in the Chamber of Commerce world in Iowa, has family up here, and he has returned like a prodigal son to the Fargo area.
This is the way.
And I think this is going to be incredible. And I know you're going to hear a lot of him. You're going to hear and see him in the around town. So I want to be the first one to have this come out. And then, of course, we've got our friend Austin Schauer in the 3 o'clock hour. We have my friend Stephanie Manassas. She is a filmmaker. She's doing a documentary on World War II vets. That's going to be in the 4 o'clock hour. And we are wrapping up the show at 4:30 with a friend of the show, Michelle Turnberg, will be closing out the show today.
Mayoral candidate, right?
I heard a rumor that she's running for office.
Yeah.
Mr. Osaka, how are you?
Doing good. It's Friday, nice long holiday weekend, and the weather outside of today is going to get much better.
I appreciate your forecast. I got to be proven right, by the way, and I know weather people don't get enough credit for this, but my spouse said she wanted to plant some flowers before the rain started, and she asked me a question last night. She's like, will it hold off until the afternoon, and can I do my planting in the morning? And I said, yes. Dean promised me this, and it worked. And so you get a gold star for your forecasting.
All right.
I want to publicly acknowledge that.
Good deal.
If we want to look at this glass half full, Dean, will the moisture we're going to get today and what part of really early tomorrow morning, will that continue to help mitigate the fire danger things?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In fact, the heaviest rain is going to fall out, and that's where it's falling right now from, let's say Oaks up towards Jamestown Valley City area. Those areas are going to get the heaviest rain out of this, where they could get up to an inch. Here in the valley into Lakes Country, we're seeing some light rain out there right now. Nothing too heavy, but that rainfall rate will increase as we head throughout the afternoon. And before all is said and done, this is out of here by midnight. And it, It'll be all pushing to the north, and we'll probably pick up about a third of an inch from the valley into Lakes Country, which is, I mean, that's decent. That's not too bad. Quarter to a third of an inch. Some areas might pick up a half, but I think in general a third of an inch, and as you go out west, the heavier the amounts will get. Now, areas of northern Minnesota into the Arrowhead of Minnesota, those are the areas that are still extremely dry. Those areas, as the system moves northward too, will get some rainfall, probably up to a quarter inch there, which not they'd like to see more, but hey, every little bit helps when it comes to the dry weather, and a lot of people will be out in Lakes Country and northern Minnesota and Arrowhead. They're going to be out this long holiday weekend. Please use common sense. If you got a bonfire going, have something handy to be able to put that out.
Already know. Had the situation in Two Harbors and
a
lot of wildfires going on.
Yeah, so please just use common sense if you're going to be out. It is still dry, but this rain definitely does help. And this rain will continue to push northward throughout the rest of the afternoon, reaching the northern valley here probably by 4 o'clock, it looks like. And then this will continue, as I said, through about midnight in the FM area, and then we're done. Temperatures for the rest of the afternoon actually going to remain steady to maybe even slowly fall as winds pick up out of the east. And then tomorrow we'll start with clouds, but then we'll see a little sunshine later in the day. Temperatures tomorrow probably about mid-60s, not too bad, a little below normal, but then things really turn the corner. A lot of sunshine on Sunday, low 80s.
Yes.
And then Memorial Day, sunny. I'll call it hot. Highs close to 90. Ooh. Not only on Memorial Day, but we could be in the low 90s on Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness.
And this heat will continue into Wednesday with highs upper 80s to near 90. Slight chance for some showers and storms coming in towards the end of next week. But up until then, we've got summer heat building into the area. I love it. I love summertime because summers are so short.
So good.
Yeah, enjoy it. I'll tell you what, planning on going out into Lakes Country, sitting on the beach either Sunday or Monday and just soaking up some sun.
I think the favorite part about the weekend is I'm going to see my children who get very hot at the lake. They are going to jump into the water and it's not going to be warm.
Oh, it's gonna
and
be,
I think that is going to be the funny moment in which I'm going to record. And that's going to be the starting memory of this summer is look at what you did.
Right.
You didn't test the water before you jumped
in. That's okay. Hey, that'll show them.
And I can't remember how many times we've had a Memorial Day where it's rainy and cold. This is like
usually.
A one usually.
I
so
know.
This is like the let's go.
Yes, this is a great way to kick off summer. And so if you're out and about, be safe, common sense. And again, it is still dry even with the rain. So if you're having the campfire, make sure you've got a bucket of water, something in case something gets out of hand. You can put that out quickly.
I love everything about it, my friend. Thank you. For being predictive.
Have
and
a great
amazing.
Show. And thank you for wearing that Bears jersey today in my honor.
It.
I really appreciate that.
No. Gross.
Hey, his business is do good better, not do Bears worse.
Yes.
Oh.
I am a dyed in the wolves, unfortunate Vikings fan. But again, here's my point. I am better suited to move through life than other fans because we are always disappointed. We know how to deal with it.
Right.
We understand unrealistic expectations.
Okay.
This is a thing. And we know how to deal with loss a lot better than everyone else who has had victories in the past, right? So we can have this.
What are you going to do if that day ever comes?
Don't tease me with this.
Well, see, I was the same way with the Cubs.
Yes, well, it's true.
I'll be waiting for the rapture. I'll be looking around going, there is no way this is real.
I'm assuming the gates are opening up at some point. I'm going to see a horse ride by. Yeah, that's going to be happening.
Well, we thought that about the Cubs when they won it in 16. Mm-hmm, so I'll never forget where I was at, what I was doing, and when the Vikings do,
yes.
You will always remember that moment.
And I will never stop talking about that moment.
See?
I understand. Yes,
there you go.
This is it.
And I will be in downtown Minneapolis, bulletproof vest and Kevlar helmet and all. I will be seeing that parade.
It's awesome. The promise I made to my kids. If we ever make the Super Bowl, at least my one Viking fan child, if we ever go, if they ever make it, we're going.
Yeah. Oh,
I go,
to.
This is going to be a thing. Yep.
You have to.
I love it. Thank you, my friend.
Have
appreciate
a good
you. Have a great weekend. Speaking of great weekends, we didn't get to talk about this earlier, Ronnie. Speaking of the Vikings, Minneapolis gets the draft in 2027.
Yeah.
Let's go. Will you be making the pilgrimage down to Minneapolis to watch the Vikings trade away their first round picks for sixth round picks.
Or maybe since we were selected, maybe we can just, if Cher would say turn back time and do the, the Vikings have failed to make their pick. Do you believe this is happening?
Yes. You know. And all of us collectively would go, that makes sense.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, oh, we'll see. I mean, I think it, I am certainly one that watches the first night on primetime TV now in each of the cities that it's been in. It's a cool experience. So, I mean, I guess it would be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know about the, I would assume there's going to be a ton of people attending.
I would imagine.
I don't know if I would want to be in a sea of people like, you know, maybe if there's somewhere where I've got my own bathroom access, all that kind of stuff. I foresee it would be kind of crazy to be amongst that many people.
One of my children said, do you have to wear an adult diaper because there aren't enough bathrooms in the middle of the thing?
Yeah.
I go, I've never thought about this, and now this makes me reconsider all of those things. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Speaking of my children, I was asked today to ask this question to our audience. What on earth can a 14-year-old do for a summer job? I have a 14-year-old. He is out searching, and I don't know. My question to you, and then call in, send us a note over email. What did you do during your summer job? What was your first summer job? What were you doing? Should I just send him out amongst the neighbors and have him, you know, mow lawns? What were you doing, Ronnie, as your first gig, your first summer job? What did you do?
Probably picking rocks.
I think it's probably right.
You know, milking cows.
Yeah.
It's, you know, about that age. That's, you know, I guess by that age, you know, I'm thinking what's first summer job age? 14, 15?
Yeah,
I guess I was out of the milking cows part of it by then, but still on the farm.
I think I was washing dishes at a retirement home. That was my, we had dishwasher Ron. I remember him distinctly, and he would sing to himself while I was washing dishes.
Yeah.
And then we get very upset if I stacked dishes wrong in the actual dishwashing component, which I think is now part of my issue with loading my dishwasher as an adult. I'm like, I think I've been beaten into submission mentally to go, this doesn't go in this particular way.
Well, see, I get raked over the proverbial coals, if you will, for not being much of a, you know, unfortunately, I lost my father young, but I'm not much of a mechanical guy, you know, builder type, can't do everything with, you know, no leather belt wearing with tool pockets everywhere.
Yes.
I'm not much of that guy, but there is the cleaning of the interior of the house that, you know, I've been able to master over my years of apartment living.
Yes.
And I just, it kills me that I get ripped apart for not being the mechanical builder kind of guy. But this is also coming from, a person who can't properly load a dishwasher and therefore nothing gets all the way clean, but I digress.
I know. That's what I do. That's really, really funny. I didn't either. So my dad turned 75 2 weeks ago, and we didn't know what to get my dad for his birthday. And so my brother and I were trying to rack our brains what we were going to do and get him, because he doesn't need anything. He doesn't want anything. Never tells us what he wants. And so we decided to go get a number of his friends and family members to record little 60-second, you know, 90-second little videos. And we put them together in one giant montage.
Oh, yeah.
My brother had the best one, though. I opened with it, and then he got to close. And he said something very similar to you, Ronnie, which he's like, hey, I want to thank you for, you know, telling me how to be a dad and telling me how to love my kids and then telling me how to do business and make business decisions. Where you crapped the bed, Dad, is you didn't tell me how to do anything in the car or fix anything in the home. And he goes, I just really missed an opportunity there, 75 years on the earth, and you didn't tell your sons how to do any of this. So I relate so much to this.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Oh, my. Ronnie, I got to spend our 17th wedding anniversary in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Have you ever had the pleasure of going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee?
Now, why does that sound familiar? Is that very near where, like, Dollywood is?
Right
nearby. Yes. Okay.
I knew nothing about Gatlinburg. We decided to pick the place because we'd never been there before. We looked at one picture of the Blue Mountains and said, we want to go hiking there. And then randomly, like, that's where we're going to go. So we had this voucher for three nights in a hotel in anywhere we wanted to go, because we had to go to a timeshare presentation. That was the requirement, was you need to go to a timeshare. I'm not sure the last time you've been to a timeshare presentation, Ronnie, but they are glorious. It is. So first off, I need to describe Gatlinburg for you, because if you've never been, there's two things. It's Gatlinburg, which is like the old sort of one place. And then there's Pigeon Forge, which is just north of it.
Heard of it.
And Pigeon Forge is where Dollywood is.
Yeah.
Pigeon Forge is if you took, speaking of the Red River Valley Fair, if you took the midway of the fair and you made it into a town, that's what Pigeon Forge is. There are, and I'm not making this up, 14 mini golf places. There are like live alligators and shirts for under $10, and then every kitschy restaurant that you could ever aim. It's 3 miles.
Better be a Cracker Barrel somewhere.
There's 100% a Cracker Barrel. Okay, right. There's probably four Cracker Barrels down this stretch. Everything has flapjacks. It's the most bizarre place ever. And you come out of Knoxville and you're driving through this beautiful country and you're kind of winding down, and all of a sudden you get to Pigeon Forge and you're like, what on earth is this? And you're like, okay, Gatlinburg's clearly different. And you then get out of Pigeon Forge. Like, it's this gigantic playground for kids. Then you go through 4 miles of forest, and it's just absolutely breathtaking. It's just beautiful scenery. It's greener than anything you've ever seen. And then you come to Gatlinburg, and the only way that I can describe Gatlinburg is if Las Vegas became a place for kids, but there are no kids. So they're like... It is just a series of shops and things and arcades and games and whatever. Yeah.
So Branson, Missouri, if you're under 16.
Ronnie, it is it is exactly what Branson is. There's a Titanic museum.
Really?
Yes. And okay. I was told by someone locally that they have the front of the ship the way that Branson has the back of the ship. And I was like, is that the case? She's like, yeah, that's okay. We split the two up, and that's the thing.
Front of the valley, back of the valley.
Unreal. Yeah,
okay.
It is the weirdest. Everything that we did, my wife and I looked at each other, we're like, that was unexpected. Good, bad, or indifferent, it was unexpected the whole time. The strangest place I have ever been. Anyway, so if you've ever been, you know the bit. And then we went to Dollywood, which is the greatest place on earth, and I would spend an hour talking about that. But where I want to go with this is the timeshare presentation. And you go in there, and it was Mother's Day, because that's where we were over there on Mother's Day, so we had to get like an hour, 2 hour bit on that Sunday. We go in there, and they register. They're like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. This is great, and whatever. We sit down, and they give my wife a flower, and we get to go to the snack bar and get a bunch of coffee, so whatever. And you sit down, and we're like, all right, we're going to go to the presentation. And there's a guy who's been doing the same presentation for 40 years, and he is a slick sales dude. He knows everything about it. But his parting shot was, hey, my father passed away early, and he gave us the opportunity to travel, and that's why I'm a part of this timeshare membership. We're like, well, that makes sense. Okay, we're kind of nodding and whatever. And then we go and sit down at our little counter where damn well they're going to start pitching us this thing. And then the guy sits there, and he's like, here's my tragic story on why I am part selling timeshare things. So like, his whole life was a mess until he became a timeshare salesman. And I was like, well, that's a little excessive. I don't know why you would say that out loud. And then the sales manager comes along, and then he's got a sob story. If you were like an emotional wreck and you just needed to be pressed into buying timeshares, it is. And if you're like, you can't say no to people, I totally understand how you would get bilked into this thing. So then they come to and the guy comes in, he goes, all right, we're going to talk about price. You knew this was coming. I was like, oh, I can't wait for this. Ronnie, without thinking about it too hard, what do you think a timeshare price point would be if they come in and they try to press you? Like, what's a number, do you think?
You mean like, was it monthly?
Let's just go
total.
Total amount over, you get access to these, and they do points, right? They do points.
$15,000.
Okay. $78,000. I spit out my call. I go, you have got, and they clearly saw the look on my face. I did a spit take I go, you got to
for
be
that
kidding.
Price, I want to walk out my front door and see Dolly waving to me every day.
Are you kidding me? And I think they didn't expect the response of, like, I had no idea that this was an actual price that you would say out loud, and I laughed at them. And then they got super, and instead of being friendly after that point, they got super serious. Like, well, you can spend, hundreds of thousands of dollars on trips. And I go, yes, but not here. I don't think I'm going to go do that here.
Right.
They got mad. I've never been like, as an adult, I don't think people get mad at us anymore, right? You have to nobody's mad at you.
See,
on a
now
basis.
I know why at the end of every newscast we run these commercials. Are you stuck in a timeshare?
You're talking about at this point. It was so weird. And then they got mad and they kind of got just like a little bit angry. And then all of a sudden, you hear the, all right, well, thanks for your time. And then they didn't even say goodbye to us. It was like we were dead to them immediately. And I've never gone from, we want your business and we're so excited to see you, to please get out and stop wasting our time and stop drinking all of our coffee in the shortest period of time ever, just by saying, no, you're a ridiculous human being. This is the silliest thing I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference is, you could spend thousands if you regularly traveled, stayed in hotels,
right,
plane trips, all this stuff, but that's my choice.
100%.
If you ask me to get into this agreement, no matter whether I travel or not, I'm signing a contract that says I'm giving you so much a month for your timeshare, whether I'm in it or not. Who wants to do that?
Nobody wants to do it. Oh my God, it was so beyond stressful. Anyway, so now my new thing is I'm going to go find timeshare things. I'm going to go find their, because I'm now an expert in saying no.
I just have to say, I was not aware that that was even still a thing with Vrbo and you can rent somebody's house for a stay.
Yes. I didn't think it was
Airbnb,
either.
Airbnb, that's what I was thinking.
It is absolutely a thing, and they must make a ton of money because they had like 9 people working there. And I was like, what is this? Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so go, but be prepared to laugh out loud with all
L-O-L.
Your L-O-L. Oh, my goodness. thank you so much for joining us here on the Jay Thomas Show, everybody. We got a fantastic show. My buddy Travis Tolliver up here in the 2:30 hour. We got Austin Schauer in the 3 o'clock hour. We've got Stephanie Manassas, who's going to talk about her documentary about World War II veterans. And we're closing the show with mayoral candidate Michelle Turnberg, coming up here on the Jay Thomas Show. It's Patrick Kirby sitting in for Jay. Happy Friday, everybody.
Custom Trunk and Auto Shine time check 2:37. It's Fry Jay, as we like to call it, on the afternoon show. Jay returns Tuesday, by the way. Monday is the observance of Memorial Day, so we are all be returning on Tuesday. A reminder, by the way, that the weather as we started the show was brought to you by Moving Team 6, and they are hiring right now, as a matter of fact. And I thought that was an important thing to mention. You talked about your first job, Patrick. Mm-hmm. Well, Moving Team 6 is looking for hardworking men and women for part-time and full-time positions. Locally owned, family-oriented company culture where employees are treated with respect, appreciation, and a team-first atmosphere. Great opportunity for college students, veterans, anyone looking for reliable work and job security. Part-time and full-time, veteran-friendly, and a supportive company to work with. Paid drive time and a lot of other benefits. Apply online at FargoMovingTeam6.com. Make sure you spell out the word S-I-X, FargoMovingTeam6.com. Also, you can always participate in the show on the Thor Building studio line, 701-293-9000. You can also email us, Red Wing Shoes and Boots, email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. And we do have a caller and an email. Let me know which one you want to take
go,
first.
Let's go caller first.
Caller Dan.
Dan, how are you? Welcome to the Jay Thomas Show.
Good. I'm doing good. So I don't know if they still do this, but my wife and I went to Vegas in 2020. Mm-hmm. And we sat through one of those timeshare deals.
Yes.
The only reason we sat through there is because they said, oh, if you just sit through it, you'll get a $200 gift card to the Voodoo Steak Lounge. You'll get VIP access on the big Ferris wheel.
Yes.
So we sat through it. We just kept saying no, mm-hmm. no, no, mm-hmm. no, no. Got our stuff and we left.
It's perfect.
It took 4 hours. But
I mean, listen, if you're going to go with a steakhouse, $200 to give, that's $50 an hour. I mean, you just made $50 an hour. That's good work right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, now you're, going to pay $200 for one steak. Yeah, yeah, it's, you know.
I love that.
Well, exactly. Our bill after our gift card was still over $200.
Yeah, see, you did the right thing. That's well worth
but
a 4 hours.
But you got a good
yeah.
steak and a couple old fashions. Yeah. And, yeah.
and a couple of good stories to bring yeah. back from Vegas that weren't, you know, Vegas yep. related. This is great. Appreciate you, my friend. That's good. We had our $100 for 3 nights in Gatlinburg, and I'm like, well, that's well worth 2 hours of me sitting through that shenanigans.
Yeah, so my story I told you this morning off air. I was going to Mexico for a friend's wedding, and I didn't heed the warnings. Apparently, everybody because I was coming in Easter Sunday by myself. From Minneapolis, and they're like, they're going to come up to you at the airport. You need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. All these, you know, there's going to be people trying to solicit you to listen to a presentation. So I go through there, get through customs, find someone, and I'm glad there. I think there was at least one booth open to get a car. Right. Otherwise, I don't know what I would have done. But I could see the doors opening from where I was. Oh. And somebody slid right in front of me. Oh, do you have time to, you know, we'll take you to the Chichen Itza ruins and you'll get meals and a bus tour and free cerveza and, you know, all this kind of stuff. All you got to do is sit through our presentation, you know. And I'm like, nah, you know, oh, come on, senior, come on, you know. So I do it because I can't say no, you know.
There it is.
And I got bussed from the resort to a hotel in Cancun, and I should have known. The first thing, somebody comes downstairs, introduces himself. Yeah, here's a piece of paper, senor. You got to sign this because we want to ensure the Mexican government that we're not coercing you or forcing you to, you know. I'm like, okay. And I get a tour of the place, a free breakfast, and then I proceed to sit there for the next 3 hours.
Woof.
As they tag teamed me, basically. They used three different sets of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I just wanted a tour of the ruins and the bus tour. And you guys don't understand. I got here on a saver deal. Like, I have $100 on my credit card. I can't afford this condo timeshare thing, you know.
First of all, what you forgot to tell everybody was you got in an unmarked white van. That's the story here, Ryan.
I didn't think about that at the time. I had to give my name at the resort, and it was walled and had a guard shack. And all of my friends who were there were like, okay, where you're going, keep your cell phone on, all this kind of stuff. But yes, I was led into Cancun in an unmarked white van that had one bench seat by a motorcycle. So I didn't think about it much at the time. Now it makes terrifying sense. Yeah. But
this is why we learn and we grow. Yeah. This is amazing.
Yes.
I will get to an email in just a second. I wanted to introduce our guest here today. I referred to you in the top of the hour. The prodigal son has returned.
Oh, jeez.
Mr. Travis Tolliver, how are you, my friend?
That's a high bar, my friend.
It is. I know
it is.
That's
a high bar. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on the show. Appreciate
amazing.
It.
Amazing. You have made your valiant return to the Fargo area. We Ta-da. Are glad of it. And you are now with our friends over at the Red River Valley Fair.
Yes, I am. Cody and the crew out there doing amazing things.
Friends of the show.
We are excited to be going into fair season soon and having all that craziness happen. But yeah, they were willing to take me in and help me to come back to the area, and so I'm really happy to be here. And of course, amazing friends like you and others in the community really making that transition really nice. So thank you for having
me. Congratulations, because you found a house, which is that was your big thing.
Yes.
And you are now moving the whole fam up here at the end of the month, so
that's
congratulations.
Right.
It's almost official.
Yeah, it is. And you know, that housing market is tough out there, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's people that have been here longer than I have that are still looking for that right house and trying to get into it. So I feel like one of the lucky ones for sure.
I like it. If you haven't noticed, he makes a perfect radio guest because he has a great radio voice, Ronnie.
Absolutely.
Like,
can you stay and cut a couple ads after the show?
That's okay. Number one. And number two, I'm immediately regretting this because this now, Jay's going to listen to this back. He goes, listen, Patrick's fine and everything, but that Travis kid, I may want him to fill in for me once in a while.
I like that.
And I think he's still on the fair board. So
that's true. This is not working out as well as I thought it was going to work out here.
It's all coming full circle. Absolutely.
You were in the chamber world for a long time. You were in the EDC world for a long time. Iowa was kind of the place that you made home. So you're coming up a couple of states, but still a Midwest guy. What have you seen in the chamber world and the EDC world? When you think about Fargo, think about the Fargo-Moorhead area. How does it compare to the rest of the area in which you have been living for the last couple of years in comparison? And I know everybody in Fargo, like, hey, we're doing awesome, we're doing great, or whatever. How does it compare? How does it rate? Are we under the... We're living under a rock. What's going on? No, give us some perspective.
No, not at all. You know, and I think Fargo is helping to lead the way in a lot of different areas, certainly in the Midwest and then hopefully throughout the country. But vibrant. This community is so vibrant. And, you know, having lived here 15 years ago and now coming back again, the vibrancy has just increased. It's enhanced so much. And so you see it everywhere throughout the business sector, for sure, you know, through my time at the chamber. But also you see it through housing. You see it through the diversity of people here and whatnot. And so I think both the chamber here, which is an amazing organization and great friends of mine over there, but also the EDC here and Joe and his team over there just doing great jobs, just, you know, really bringing the enhancement to this community. And that's what it's all about. It's just trying to find different ways to enhance wherever you live, to make sure that it is attractive for people to come and want to, you know, stay, visit, shop, and of course, ultimately, like we're doing, move here and live here, right? And so you're increasing the tax base, which of course we are happy to continue to be doing, moving the family up here soon. So
thanks for joining us in the tax base.
you're welcome.
Speaking of expansion, because I live right next to the fairgrounds,
so
every time I go over there, there's something else going on. What on earth is happening in the middle of the track? There's a lot of dirt moving around.
Yeah, there is.
I think I heard a rumor that they're building something. What on earth are you building, good sir?
We are building a permanent stage.
Say what?
What? Right. So, I mean, it's going to be amazing for all of our entertainment to be on a permanent stage. And it's just going to be such an enhancement for all of our concert goers and everybody that's going to be able to use that space. Couldn't be more happy for our friends at Dakota Magic for sponsoring that. But the crews are out there working right now, even as it's wet right now outside. Mm-hmm. They're still out there moving dirt and doing the things. But, yeah, it's going to be exciting to have that during the fair. And our concert lineup is going to be excited about it. Future events, it's all amazing. So, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
It's pretty fantastic. Who are you looking forward to? I know you can't pick favorites, but who are you looking forward to in this year's lineup at the Faro?
Well, you know, the lineup, obviously we've got Trace Atkins, which, you know, an amazing voice already, right?
When you said Trace Atkins, you actually went down an entire octave while you said his name. I feel like that was on purpose.
It's easy to do.
I feel like that it was an on-purpose bit. I like that a lot. Very well done.
You know, Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo.
Super popular. I mean, he's on a high right now. And then I think my favorite, though, let's go back in the day, Stone Temple Pilots. I mean, does it get any better than that?
No, I am going to relive.
Interstate Love Song.
I am going to relive my entire 90s at that show.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, totally.
So excited.
Totally, yep. Totally. And then, of course, we have Ann Wilson coming for our Christian night through Pulse. That's going to be great as well. But yeah, Stone Temple Pilots, STP, that's really where it's at.
Oh my God.
It's really where it's at.
I now get to bring my kids there. And my kids are trying to like get into their music tastes. Mm-hmm. My oldest has okay music tastes. Every time, once in a while, he shows me something and it's like, hey, Dad, have you ever heard of the band called the Gin Blossoms? And I'm like, geez, I am so freaking old. Mm-hmm. What that it's terrible because he's finding all of these like mid-90s, early 2000s rock bands.
Yeah.
And they're brand new to him, and I'm like, what?
Well,
like, what?
Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing
have been
Pumpkins going on the tour
back
again.
Back in the news,
This goes back to our conversation of the last 2 days, Ronnie. It was like the 30th anniversary of the Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness album.
Oh wow!
Think about that's horrifying. Whoa, man. But I get to go bring that out there. And that, there's, it's so fun that the fair is bringing that whole... You've done a very thoughtful job of bridging generational music and like the types of music stuff, which I always think is great. And if the wind direction is correct, I can sit on my patio and listen to the concert as if I'm right there, direction-wise.
Huh.
Just saying.
Anyway.
I know. I'm going to buy a ticket.
But we would encourage people to buy tickets and actually come to the concert for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, I think when we... you know, we've already been putting in bids for next year's entertainment, and that is really the big thing that goes into the thought behind this is, you know, making sure that we have something for everybody at the fair, right? And so I think, yes, the generational gaps there prove to help span the demographic that we have here in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area. So really excited about that. Yeah, it's going to be a great lineup.
Excellent. And then what other things are you adding at the fair this year? Is there anything kind of your, besides music stuff? My favorite is to try to do the math early. I think we bought our tickets for the all you can ride rides. There's like the early ticket sales or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the math in my head. And I go, my kids would go 5 straight days.
As my wife calls it, the multi-pass.
The multi-pass.
Yes, the multi-pass. There you go.
Yeah, it is the best deal. Well, anything new or interesting or awesome that you're kind of looking forward to this year in addition to music?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because, yes, well, of course, you know, we took over the races over there at the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so races were supposed to start tonight, but unfortunately, because of the weather, we're not able to do that. So hopefully next week we got our fingers crossed for that.
Love it.
But yeah, the races are really cool. But one thing I'm really looking forward to, in addition to everything else that we do, which is always amazing at the Red River Valley Fair, is after fireworks, a drone show every night.
What?
10 nights. Drone show. Yes. Yes.
Get out of town.
Right? Cody and the crew went to Australia to the Sydney Fair, which is like the largest fair in the world, right? Just to do some research and whatnot. And of course, they waited until hiring me until after that wonderful trip, right?
Yeah.
But they came back and they said, we met this vendor and he's going to do a drone show and everything. And so, so we're adding a drone show to the night's festivities every night of the fair. And we are currently looking for sponsors to have their logos in drones up in the air. It's fantastic. They shot us a picture of Big Roy, our logo, in the drone show, and it looks awesome. So if anybody's interested in having their business advertised out there, come see me over at the Red River Valley Fair. We'd love to get your logo up in lights. But yeah, the drone show is going to be super cool. And then of course, you know, we've got America 250 coming up on July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a spectacular show as well, you know, with fireworks and the drones. So yeah, the drones are going to be really cool, and we're hoping that's going to be a tradition we can keep bringing.
Well, it's really cool. I mean, I've been to a University of Nebraska, a couple of them, night games at Memorial Stadium. That's what they do between the third and fourth quarters, and it is absolutely incredible what they do with those drones.
Yeah. Yeah, it's truly amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's going to be 300 of them in the sky that night, and it's just going to be awesome.
That is going to be fantastic. What a great ad.
Right.
Look at you just coming in with all the hot information and
you know,
great.
We're just trying to push the envelope there.
I know. You haven't been around in this area in 15 years. I mean, you've been up visiting every once in a while. I moved in here 15 years ago, so I got to bridge the gap. Yeah. What was the biggest...
Thanks for holding down the fort for me.
I did. Well, you're welcome. It's good. Real quick, as we're coming up to the top of the hour, but what was the biggest... Like, holy crap, they have this here? Or, wow, this is an expansion. What was your, like, welcome back to Fargo, I didn't know this existed, or I'm really glad that it was here moment?
That's a great question. Well, for me, you know, I'd never been to the fair before. So getting to know the fairgrounds and how that organization worked, fantastic. In addition to that, though, all the amazing new facilities that are here, right?
Yeah.
The sports complex.
Yep.
Thank you, City of Fargo, Fargo Parks and Rec, for building that. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the investment that's gone into downtown is just truly phenomenal, right? And so, you know, I used to work at the Radisson Hotel in downtown. That's what I did in my first stint here. And I remember seeing that whole area starting to come into its own and a renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that have come to fruition is super, super cool. So just great living everywhere. You know, you get the downtown space and you've got the suburbs. But yeah, It's the whole place is just amazing.
I love it, dude. All right, well, it's Travis Tolliver is his name. You will hear him a lot, I am sure. You'll see him around town. He's
absolutely
like the most social human being that I've ever met.
Huh.
Super glad that you're back. Super excited that you're here. The fair is lucky to have you.
Thank you, my friend.
For stopping on the Jay Thomas Show today.
It's a pleasure. Anytime. Anytime, Jay, you need somebody to substitute, I'm happy
stop
to
it.
Do it
you
for you.
Stop right now. You edit that part out, Ronnie. I'm Patrick Kirby.
And Travis Tolliver.
Damn it. And sitting in for
a super day.
Have a super day. We'll be back on the Jay Thomas Show after this.
Custom Truck and Auto Auto Shine time check is 3:06. The Jay Thomas Show, guest hosted, easy for me to say, by Patrick Kirby today. A reminder that there is a block party coming up, and where, you might ask? Well, the 4th annual Timber Creek Block Party and Car Show, Tuesday, June 23rd. You've still got some time to cancel all of your other plans. 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Kingpin's. It's fun for all ages. Games to go, a car show, live music with none other than the Front Fenders, a variety of food from Kingpin's and Sweet Shots, beverages, Pepsi and ice cream from Lundy's, the patio open for 21 and over with adult beverages, new chairs and tables. The 4th annual Timber Creek Block Party and Car Show, Tuesday, June 23rd, 4 to 10. Go to kingpinswithaz.com for details, off 52nd Avenue South and I-29 in Fargo.
What a great Tuesday bit.
Yes.
Holy.
And the weather hopefully will cooperate.
Yeah. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a Saturday event. You can make your Saturday a Tuesday.
Yes. Even the Tuesday nights are better. Isn't that like an Air Supply song?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's good call.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a deep cut. I like that. It's a deep reference. I've been trying to think about, I know we do Fry J, but I want to propose anytime I come in on a Friday, Fry K.
Oh, I think we should switch to that today.
Yeah, I feel like it's a Fry K today. Patrick Kirby sitting in for Jay Thomas today. I appreciate you joining us on a rainy, but the only rainy day of a Memorial Day weekend. I know that there are a ton of things and activities and ceremonies and services throughout the Red River Valley that you get to pick and choose to celebrate our soldiers who have fallen and given their lives for what we get to do all weekend, which is grill burgers and go golfing and grab a beer. And you get to enjoy that because this weekend is celebrating those who served and fell because of it. So shout out to everyone who is taking the time out of the weekend to go to one of those services. For everybody who's putting it on, it's a lot of efforts there as well. So go out and enjoy it. That's going to be great. I get to introduce our next guest, who is one of my favorite human beings, who also happens to be my legislative representative in the 13th, glorious 13th district of North Dakota, Austin Schauer. Austin, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. I mean, Jay Thomas has actually reached probably a new low, having you and I on the radio.
I hear this. We should write an apology note immediately, so when he gets back on Tuesday, he sees that. Yeah,
right. Before we go, Ronnie, I got to tell you this quick story. So I went over to Patrick Kirby's house to drop off a sign, and we're just yapping, and his daughter comes out. How old is she? Eight, nine?
Yep, eight. Yep.
Seven,
yep.
You know? And I say, Patrick, man, you're doing such a great job. You're working so hard with so many nonprofits. And before I even say the last word, she interrupts and goes, huh, all he does is sit around and play on his computer. And I thought, my goodness, what kind of children are we raising today, Patrick Kirby?
The sassiest is what we're raising, Austin.
Well, I was going to say, has she been talking to my boss? Because some people assert that about me today,
feel like that's
too.
A thing.
So, yeah.
It's my favorite bit is where we try to have our children guess what we do for a living. And they're like, well, you sit on your computer on meetings. I'm like, yeah. Okay, guilty as charged. That's fine.
Well, I will say this. I was in the nonprofit development world fundraising for a bit, about 3.5 years, which is about three. That's about 30
years. Feels 30, yeah.
But when it comes to fundraising and helping nonprofits, I really look at John Pierce from Concordia, retired now, and Urban Erger, retired now, NDSU many years. Those two are like Hall of Famers. But I'm telling you, Patrick, you're right in there.
Oh,
you really
sweet.
Are right in there. Your energy level, your knowledge, your patience. You keep going, right?
Yeah.
No one's interrupting.
Stop, yeah, man. This is great. I like
best-selling
this.
Author.
Yeah, keep going. This is great.
And I did get your book, by the way. Oh, it was very good, but really outstanding. And I look back because we've been here for a while, Angie and I. Where did this idea of giving back and Dakota Medical Foundation, Giving Heart Stay, et cetera, and the success that we've had and the momentum for so many nonprofits, it's just through the roof. And I was talking to a guy last night at the car show. By the way, those car shows are excellent. We were at the Red River Valley Fair. Was the Fix It Forward.
Yep.
I mean, fantastic. So someone has a chance to go. But he talked about the 66 blizzard. He talked about the 69 flood. Mm-hmm. He talked about the 97 flood, the 2009 flood. And if you were around during those days, you know there were middle-aged kids, junior high kids, high school kids, and the college kids out there on the sandbag line. Would that happen today?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they would allow them because of, you know, the risk and the insurance and all that sort of stuff.
Well, there might be two of them, but there'd be 10 others filming it for social media.
Exactly. Or just simply on there, you know, looking for directions on their phone. But that giving back, that spirit of battling for your community with Dennis Wallacher and his crew, I mean, it sowed some seeds there of giving back that still is, I think, growing today. And you're a part of that. So,
well, it's fun to watch. I get the ability to travel around the country and do some talks and trainings and stuff like that. And I will mention some of the things that we have here in Fargo, number one, but the metro area here and throughout the state. And they can't believe the amount of nonprofits that we have, the amount of support that they have. They're like, how do you do that? And I go, it is part of the culture here. This is the most giving community that I have ever been a part of. And when there ever is a problem or an issue, or you see a family member get sick and somebody's trying to help out with DMF's lend a hand up, or someone coming to a spaghetti feeder, everyone shows up. We're talking to Sue Barton today. She's, by the way, if you're out there in Hornbacher, she's got 4 hours left to sell in brats over there, West Fargo Hornbacher.
Till 7 o'clock.
Till 7
right?
tonight. Yeah. And from 11 to 7 tomorrow, you can go out through that for Golden Drive Homeless Kids. Anytime that you have a need, people step up. And that's, I think it's a really interesting culture. So I want to link this because you're my legislative connection here to
the
city.
Oh boy, here we go. Here
which
we
is,
go, Ronnie.
But.
Time to go.
Is that a, are you a lobbyist?
Maybe. I'm not registered, no.
Or we're screwing it up in North Dakota, you know, and now the complaints come out.
What I love most about this, and I think it goes right to, you can get a hold of legislators currently, and it doesn't matter what party or what side you are. If you make a call or you send an email, it is the most connected that I have ever experienced legislatively, and I appreciate that. I appreciate of everyone who's elected official, they do answer their emails, they do answer their phone, text messages or whatever, and they want to have a conversation with people. I've always admired that about you, that you've always been immediately responsive. You know what everybody is sort of dealing with in the community itself. And you're always at the fundraisers. You're always at the things that require you. So I just wanted to appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank
but I
you.
Think that's part of the culture in this area.
Yeah, no question.
More than ever.
Before you were born in the early 80s, I remember reporting for WDAY.
First of all, thank you for
in
that.
In Fargo. Yeah. And I had to call the Attorney General. And so I called the Attorney General's office, a little nervous, you know, I'm going to do a radio interview on TV, but it's the Attorney General of North Dakota, for crying out loud. So I call, and then somebody answers, and I said, yeah, I'd like to talk to the Attorney General, the Austin Shower, blah, blah, blah. And there's a pause, and he goes, speaking. He answered the phone. He answered, I think it was Alan Olson, that he answered the phone, the Attorney General. And I was just kind of blown away by that. Yeah. But really, with my experience now in Bismarck, working with the legislature, most people are just down to earth. They are North Dakotans. And most legislators are really, really citizen legislators. They're not the Byron Dorgans and Kent Conrads and Kevin Kramers of the world. They really aren't. I mean, they are just like you and me.
I know.
Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we don't get it right. It's just the way it is.
Did you find that shocking, though? Like when you became a legislator yourself and you answer the phone or you answer an email and people are like, I can't believe you got back to me. Do they still do that? Or was that the kind of when you got to Bismarck and you're like, I do this, but maybe you all don't? Is that sort of a weird bit? Or
not so much. I think people are a little bit surprised to know that we have zero staff. We have nobody. It's us. That's just the way it is. That's A. And B, we don't make very much money at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think I average maybe about $8,000 or $9,000 a year. You know, when we're in session, it's a little bit more. When you're out of sessions, it's a little bit less. Yeah. And they have good benefits, so that's nice.
Sure.
That's nice. So it's pretty down to earth. And you know, I will say I've been doing the door to door because we are in a campaign, but for the most part, it's been very good. And North Dakotans are nice. People in West Fargo, for the most part, very, very nice. Mm-hmm. But I knocked on this one door, and this guy comes out, and I'm just ready to give my little spiel. Mm-hmm. And then he looks at me, and he said, I'm not supporting you. Oh, okay. He said, I have some land out in Western North Dakota, mm-hmm. and I emailed you, and you did not you voted against me, but you did not get back to me. And he turned around and not slammed the board, but shut the door. I want to say slam, but it would be, you know, wouldn't be quite accurate. Yeah. And I felt bad because it's the one thing that I've kind of prided myself on to get back to people as best we can. And then right away you're thinking defensively, well, I never saw your email, or maybe you got caught in spam or something like mm-hmm. that. But I did. That's one thing I think for the most part, most good legislators will get back to you right away. I've only had one serious kind of almost a yelling situation. And the guy was just kind of going on and on and on. And then I paused and I said, sir, either will you calm down and we can have a conversation or this conversation is over.
Yeah.
He paused. He said, you're right. And we had a nice conversation. Yeah. I learned from him. Hopefully mm-hmm. he learned from me. And, you know, most votes, especially controversial ones, you can explain why you voted.
Sure.
People may not agree with that, but you can explain why.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand when a bill initially comes out, it gets tweaked and changed and amended and on and on and on. So, you know, when you're looking at it from, you know, a long ways away, it's easy to kind of get caught up. Well, why did he or she vote this way or this way? That's why if there's good communication, you can explain what's going on. But for the most part, it's been a really good experience.
I love it. I got my start in fundraising because I ran for office. I think I may have told the story, but I graduated with a politics degree. So clearly I knew everything there was to know about politics at the age of 23. So I, at a very young age, right out of college, ran for the legislature in South Minneapolis, right? So I got my butt whipped. I mean, just destroyed. But the only way, I won one precinct, and it was the cemetery. And I won by one vote, and I'm very proud of that district. I think I won like by...
There are so many jokes I could make as it's Minneapolis right now, but I won't.
Setting up.
Well,
but
the cemetery district, too. I mean, he in politics.
Yeah,
I mean,
listen,
but he still lost.
It writes itself. Yeah, couldn't even get the dead people to vote for me, which is great. Yeah.
I will say this, Patrick Kirby. Yeah. How much money did you raise?
Upwards of like $64,000. And you could only spend $35,000-$36,000 in a legislative race. So I raised more money than I was legally allowed to spend.
So $64,000, and what year was this?
2006.
I mean, that is darn impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, so your failure led you to great success.
That's all I did. So that become a fundraiser the rest of my life. But I got my mom to go door to door knocking with me because she's like, I'm so proud of my son. This is great. So she goes door knocking and she's got a bunch of literature and we're walking down together. I'm on one side. She's on the other and she gets held back. She's like, I'm like, what are you doing, mom? So I circle back. I go around the block and she's still standing there. And then we're about a house apart and she finally leaves and she comes back. She's white as a ghost. Mm. And she's like, I'm like, what happened? She's like, well, that gentleman had no clothes on. And I go, what do you mean? She's like, well, he answered the door with nothing on. And then just to continue to ask me questions about your campaign. And I didn't want to like not get a vote. So I'm like, you went above and beyond, mom, to the naked person who might have voted for me. Thank you, Terry Kirby, for all of your energy.
Scarred for life.
And I feel like that has stuck with me. I didn't get to see it, which I can imagine it, which is probably worse. That has to be an adventure going door to door. Just not to meet naked people, but just meeting people who may not have any politics agreement with you or may not be interested in politics whatsoever. There's a joy though in analog conversations that I think that if you don't do campaigning or you don't go door to door, you don't have.
Yeah.
And you get to learn so much more about the district that you're in rather than just, I'm going to send out an email.
Yeah.
I'm going to hope that I get, elected because of X, Y, and Z. But I love the door to door conversations that I think you probably have all the time. Has there been one or two that had an aha moment over the last couple of weeks?
First of all, my career was all about analog. And when analog went, all of a sudden people could save my face and my lack of hair and wrinkles. So the more you bring up analog, I appreciate that. Secondly, I think the biggest moment for me in door-to-door was our very first campaign, and it was a mobile home park over by the law enforcement center in West Fargo. Yeah. And at that point, maybe it's changed, but it's pretty run down. But some of the nicest people ever. But it just kind of took a while to get through there, and I had like one place left. And I said, I look on the outside, and there's beer cans and tires, you know, the whole thing. And, dear God, I hope they're not home. So I go up there, tap, 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 and they're coming to the door. Okay, be prepared. And this nice-looking young gal answers, and I explain who I am. And she says, well, Mr. Schauer, I wish you luck. And I said, what grade are you in? Are you high school, college? She says, I'm a senior in at West Fargo High School, and I'm going to go into nursing. And I said, well, good luck to you, and good luck to you. And I walked away. Patrick, I could have wept. It just bothered me because I had this vision in my mind of mobile home people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Down and out.
Sure.
And this gal, growing up in that area, she can't control that.
Right.
But she still had a vision and a drive and a path to where she wanted to go. And it was a beautiful moment. And so I was down on myself, and then I still am. I'm going through counseling on this. You know, this happened 8 years ago, but it was just a great experience and a life lesson. I mean, you just cannot judge from the outside. You can't.
Yeah.
And if you start doing that, it's on you.
Yeah.
Well, you're the problem, not them, not anybody else.
It's a way harder to, it's way easier to judge if you don't do that. If you do it from behind a computer, if you do that from, behind, you're not putting your name associated with a Facebook post or a comment that goes in there. It's easy to do. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to manage that face to face, which I really love the idea of campaigning in general. And I really do love that. And you say citizens, first from legislator standpoint, which I think is really interesting. Anyone can approach any elected official that you have to say, I got an idea for something that we need to tweak, change, add, or subtract.
Yes.
And what I find most interesting, and again, it's not just our district, it's anyone who is looking for feedback. They're looking for I can't imagine you trying to make a decision on your own without counseling everyone else or getting the opinions of
without
other people.
My wife.
Well, first of all, that's number one. But number two, it's absolutely imperative that you get the perspective, but you're asking the questions. You've always been the one curious. I get a text message from you once every other week, like, hey, what are your thoughts about X, Y, and Z? And I so appreciate that just because you're overly communicative. You're always interested. And I think the curiosity standpoint has never left you. And I've known you for a number of years. And you're always, always curious about what the next thing is or what you could do next. And I find that
that's good.
Delightful.
Well, and you're the same cloth. So there's no doubt about that. But I will say this, if you're listening, some really good ideas can come your way. Mm-hmm. But you got to listen. So the other day I was talking to a guy and he said, you know, Austin, I've got an idea for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he goes, how about this? You know, the free lunches that are coming, it's going to be on the initiative measures on the ballot in November. It's going to pass. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
And he said, why not have a bill that says on the free lunches, it's all North Dakota food?
What a great idea.
What a great idea. And so I want to steal it. I want to steal it.
Yes.
You know.
You borrow this.
I want to borrow his brilliance.
Yeah.
And now it may not go anywhere.
Sure.
But it makes all the sense in the world.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
See, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
That's
one thing I do want to say too on the door-to-door. I'm going to ask you this, and I think you can handle it. Maybe Ronnie too. Tap, tap, tap. Guy comes in. He's maybe early 20s. And do a little spiel. And then he says, Mr. Schauer, what's your personal mission statement?
Interesting.
And so I pause, and then I answered. So for you, Patrick Kirby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your personal mission statement?
Goodness gracious. What a great... Huh, I didn't expect the question coming back to me today. This is unexpected. I would say leave this place in a better place than when you found it. And I think that's kind of just in general, right? So just like, am I... And if I can make an amendment to that, make sure that my kids know that.
Good.
I
Ronnie,
think that's it.
Ronnie, what would you say?
I mean, I it feels like adopting... I still remember part of my graduation motto. You know, don't go on the well-traveled path. Go instead where there is no path and forge your own.
Love that. Mm. What did you? So what was your response?
My response was... make as much money as you possibly can make and retire early. I just get it. Do you remember the three?
It would be a good bit. You just remember, went with that and just and it's like, I'm out. And
do you remember the bed scene with Three Amigos where they yeah, talk yes. about what are you going to do with yes. your, the treasure, the reward? And it was like, you know, the adoption center or whatever. And then it's like, but no, I just said I care. I care yeah. about the community. I care about the state. I care about good public policy. And if I can be part of that, that's what I'll do.
So. Yeah, I really like that. Have you found, maybe this is probably a longer conversation for post break, but like, have you found joy in public service? I always, was it more frustrating or is it more rewarding being in public office?
Oh, it's, I don't know about joy. You know, joy is a little bit, I don't know, deep.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For
yeah.
legislative bills.
Yeah.
I get really tied to legislative bills. And so when I lose, it bothers me. When I win, I'm really happy. There's no yeah. question about that. But I will say the experience has been phenomenal. It really has been phenomenal. And I would encourage anyone with a reasonable attitude
yes.
that sometime, some point, get involved.
I love it. I'm going to keep you over the break. Can you stay for the next segment too?
You got me, man.
I love it. I'm going to keep him hostage because we got to talk about gambling. I want to talk a little bit about nonprofit stuff, and I want to talk a little bit about the campaign itself. Sure. Here on the Jay Thomas Show, I'm Patrick Kirby in for Jay with my guest, Austin Schauer. More after the break.
Custom Truck and Auto Shine sales time, or time check rather, is 3:37. Guest hosted the Jay Thomas Show again today. It is Patrick Kirby this time, wrapping up the week. Jay returns on Tuesday after the Memorial Day holiday observance. So we've got some special Memorial Day programming coming your way, including a replay of the Fargo School Board debate. That'll be part of the day on Monday. And then Best of Jay Thomas, an ABC radio news show called Playback with some pop culture stuff and more. That'll all happen on Monday, and then Jay returns on Tuesday. PetroServe USA, by the way, there is one near you. You can get great deals right now. Buy one, get one free Gatorades if you need the extra boost. If you want the extra, extra boost, Red Bull 8 ounces, buy two, get one free. Johnsonville Brats, beef hot dogs, cheddar, and jalapeno, 2 for $3. You get $1 off with PetroServe USA rewards. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. There is one near you, including several in West Fargo.
One down the block from my office, in which I go yeah. every other day to get snacks.
Mm-hmm.
It is the greatest. It's fun to work in the nonprofit industry when I get a notification on a Friday before Memorial Day that a client that I work with has $500,000 gift that came in. Let's go, everybody. Doing fundraising, even from behind the desk of Jay Thomas today. That's great. Speaking of nonprofit work, Austin Schauer, who is my guest today. Legislator from the illustrious 13th District. Nonprofit work. You spent some years doing some fundraising stuff, so you know the plight. But you yourself are very intimately involved in a number of nonprofit ventures. One in particular, though, I want you to talk about, Fisher House. This is something that you... you brought to me a number of years ago, and I was like, I didn't know this needed to be existing, and now it exists, and I'm super happy for you and the entire crew. You want to tell a little bit about Fisher House in general, what it was for, what it is for, and what you have going on, because I'm fascinated by it.
Well, I do have a request, Patrick Kirby, after you get that $500,000 gift on my tombstone, can you put IE at the bottom, fundraiser for the Fisher House?
Yes.
Can you do that, please?
I can do that, yeah.
Because this started in 2019.
Okay.
The 7 years ago, we started Lonnie Wongan, who's the North Dakota Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. It was his goal, his dream to have a Fisher House. I'd never heard of a Fisher House. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with a Fisher House, it's like the Ronald McDonald House, but it's for families of veterans. Mm-hmm. And the Fargo VA Hospital covers all of North Dakota, 18 counties in western Minnesota, and one in South Dakota. So you have veterans families coming from 2, 3, 4, up to 6 hours away. They come to Fargo for serious medical treatment, and the families can stay at the Fisher House. And so we've got $8.5 million raised. We finally got the land. Once the building is built, it's turned over to the federal government. So they have a lot of regulations along the way. We should have the groundbreaking by this fall.
Amazing.
Exactly. And then once the federal government has control over it, they take care of the outside, the inside. They've got a person there. They've got transportation to the VA hospital and back. And I just one small little story, because my heart really goes out. And I know this weekend we're going to be loving on our veterans, troops that have served, have died, wounded, have served and done a terrific job. But the families get overlooked so often. You talk to any veteran, and the first thing will say, I could not do what I did without a spouse, without my kids.
Yeah.
And the sacrifice that they have to put up with. Years ago, when Dean Brashani was around in NDSU football, season ticket holder, although I graduated from UND, but that's another story. So they used to have a little one-minute video for the veterans. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then Dan Michaels, the announcer, said, all the veterans stand up. Beautiful. Round of applause. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. So I went to Brashani and I said, why not have stand-up veterans and your families? Mm-hmm. And your families. That's three words. Patrick Kirby, that's three words. But words do mean something.
Yeah.
And Dean Brashani, oh, yeah, great idea. I love it. I love it. Let me take it to a committee. Okay. So he got back to me about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks later. And he said, well, the committee said no. And I said, why? And he said, well, the committee asked the question, what makes up a family? Is it uncles, aunts? Is it nephews? Is it nieces? Is it grandma, grandpa, et cetera? We just don't want everybody standing up. And I thought, and I said, Dean, it doesn't matter who stands up. Most spouses probably won't even stand up. But can you imagine a grandpa, a Vietnam veteran standing up, and there's his grandson? I mean, it would be a beautiful moment. And then the next president said, Austin, we're going to do that. And not only do we not do it, we don't even do the recognition. So I've gone backwards ever since I even brought it up.
Yep.
But the families of veterans need to be recognized, and the Fisher House gives them that opportunity to stay there for a week, a couple weeks, however long that treatment is. And I'm sure you've been in a situation where you've been in the emergency room or surgery OR, and there's other people, other families and patients in there. You connect like crazy.
Yep.
And it can be even a lifetime connection. So there, the Fisher House is not only a place to stay for free, it's a place where you can heal and talk and just really go through the difficult experience you're going through.
Well, it's interesting because that is a perspective that if you are a family member of a veteran who's going through some stuff, if you don't have family members or other community members nearby that understand that, you're now going through everything alone. And I think that's, we had the VA on earlier today during the coffee club, and talking a little bit about some of the services that some of our veterans have access to. And it's something that I just don't think is considered. A lot of that is the secondary stuff. I think about this too, where the developmental disability and delay groups out there who do SIB shops, right? So there's an individual in your family who has a developmental disability. Well, they don't think about what that affects on one of the family members a brother or a sister in the family too, right? This kid is getting all the attention, and there's not a lot of things that they can talk about. Very similar in the veteran groups. And I don't think that if you don't have an option to talk, or you don't have an understanding that everybody else is going through the same kind of thing, what a great gift to raise. And what a wonderful private-public partnership.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the things that I really love about Fisher House in general. It's like, yeah, there's some private donations, but then the feds come in, and then now you got sort of this, I don't want to say unlimited budget, but a significantly more budget to take care of the stuff that doesn't take a required keep giving, you know, and making this a capital campaign in perpetuity too, which is wonderful.
Well, thank God for you and others involved in nonprofits, because it takes a long, long time.
It does.
And I know for you on a Friday afternoon on a holiday weekend to get $500,000 gift is not a big deal. But for some people in the nonprofit world, it is a big deal.
It's massive.
I need to say one other thing about the VA hospital in Fargo. It's been considered one of the best in the nation. Mm-hmm. You know, we went through a time where the VA hospitals were just really, really struggling for whatever reason. But the VA hospital in Fargo has done a fabulous job. And who goes to the VA hospital? Okay, you say veterans, but who are the veterans? Mm-hmm. They're mostly moderate to low income. The higher income veterans are probably doing private. That's just the way it is, and maybe getting their hearing aid over at the VA. So, I mean, this is a service for moderate to low-income people, and I don't ever want to do it again, Patrick. 7 years. I mean, those are the best 7 years. Well, not the best 7 years, but those are 7 years of my – but seriously, it's really been you know, you talk about joy. That's joy when you work on a project and you know it's going to help people, and you're just a small part of it, but you can walk away saying, well, Lisa did something good, you know. Butterfly Kisses, remember that song? Yeah, Lisa did something good, you know, in my life, you know. So,
I cannot wait for the groundbreaking for that. I can't wait for that photo of relief that, like, hey, we actually did it, which
that's
is
right.
amazing.
That's right.
And again, fundraising is very difficult. This leads me to my next question is a lot of nonprofits across the state of North Dakota rely on pull tabs, gambling, other kind of things. This is a hot topic across the state. I think the legislature is going to be really not coming after it, but looking at it in a lens that they've never looked at it before. I'd love some inside baseball or some insight to where the temperature is legislatively on that, because it is a there are some groups that are doing just amazing work and being able to raise a significant amount of money with this, but where are we with that, and what's the vibe? A vibe check. I need a vibe check, Austin.
Well, let me ask you a question here. Should nonprofits own bars where e-tabs are available?
It's a great question. It's a great question. As a consultant,
who's the politician here?
And as a consultant, I go, it depends. I don't know, and I think that's the interesting question about the whole
thing.
What's
your definition of own?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What is?
So it's a really, really difficult issue, because gaming, as in our society, is just taken off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at sports betting. I remember Pete Rose and how, you know, you didn't touch betting, and now you've got DraftKings, you know, being a major sponsor of major events. I mean, the whole gaming area is this, and I love how they'll have a minute commercial and the last 3 seconds will be, and if you have a problem with the gaming, just check with your local counselor, you know, whatever they say.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one, because if you make adjustments, and there were a couple bills that came up last session, then you've got the nonprofits that are down on your throat. I mean, if you make this change, this is what's going to happen to our nonprofit, and this is what's going to happen to its mission.
Sure.
And what's going to happen to people. So it's very, very difficult. What I would like to see is some of these nonprofits that are getting sizable amounts of money, maybe there's some legislation where once it reaches a certain point, 100,000, 500,000, I don't know what that point is, then you need to share. You need to pick another nonprofit, and you share that money, as opposed to coming in. And right now, I think there's some good nonprofits that do that.
Yep.
They do, but they're not forced to. But I think under some regulation, I think that may not be a bad idea, because there's so many nonprofits that they rely on gaming. I mean, Patrick Kirby, you're a great fundraiser, but can you compare to what an e-tab machine gets me in this bar XYZ?
Yeah.
You can't.
And it's cutthroat too, because, you know, you've got, and again, you've got to invest in a gaming manager, and then you've got to do this kind of stuff. And if you're not paying attention to it, somebody can sweep under the rug and get it. I think the spend down to me is the most important thing. Like, I think if you're going to make it, you got to spend it on the thing that you do.
Right.
As I think that's the most important part of that.
And Austin, weren't there some changes the last session too, to kind of rein it in. Like, you can't just have it in the front entryway of a gas station, and a specific nonprofit has to be tied to the machines and all
that. I know, but that was a difficult one too, because you know it's supposed to be separated out from miners, where miners go.
Well, right.
In so many smaller communities, you just have the convenience
store.
It's
a bar, restaurant, laundromat,
a convenience store, gas station. It's the whole thing. Yeah. So I can't remember what they came up with. 8 feet, 10 feet. It almost seemed like rather ridiculous, you know.
For sure.
It's like, okay, parents, control your 7-year-old or your daughter that she doesn't go over and start playing on the e-tabs, you know. And on the enforcement side, the regulation side, I should say the enforcement side, there's basically only one attorney out of the Attorney General's office that handles it, and she does a great job. But I remember going into office one time, this fairly small office, and there's papers stacked up 4, 6, 8 inches.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you go for a gaming license, and it can take 6 months, 8 months, 12 months. So I think really within the Attorney General's office, maybe there can be some changes, because I know there was an incident out in, I can't remember what community it was, where they were flat out fraud, embezzlement, taking money. But for the most part, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
You look at years ago when it started, what a brilliant idea. We're going to go gambling, and we call it gaming because it sounds so much nicer. But we're going to go gambling, but then all the proceeds go to nonprofits. Yeah. But it's just ballooned.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Patrick Kirby, you'll have to come up with an idea.
I got an idea for you.
Well,
which
you
is,
and I will have to talk sometime, Austin. I mean, you're not in my district. You're not my specific legislator. But, you know, some of us enjoy sports gaming. But, you know, we can't do it the way we want here in North Dakota. So,
Well, don't let go of your day job.
Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Wow. Or do.
I think that did come up. That bill that came up out of Minot, Scott Lauser, wasn't it on college betting? Was that it?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I have my MGM app that I have to drive across an entire state's border to play. Right. So
I've gotten a little pushback from my conservative right-wing evangelical friends, because I voted for a number of the gaming ones because I do fantasy football.
Yes.
Now, it's not a lot of money.
Yes.
Then I think, okay, so I'm going to vote no on gaming, but here I'm gaming myself. But it's a little bit different level of fantasy football, you know, $50 as opposed to what's going on. So it's a tricky deal.
I think from my nonprofit friends, if we can figure out a way to streamline and maybe take out a little bit of the regulation when it comes to, if I need to do a 50-50 raffle, or I need to do a silent auction raffle that gets buried under that pile, I'll be pushing for that. But that's a whole Nadano thing that we're going to do in the
legislature.
But I think that actually makes a little bit more sense.
It does. You're exactly right.
I'm more of the straight freedom guy, you know. I mean, just adults take personal responsibility. If you want to do it, you do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, but there's such a moral turpitude to some of this stuff. You look across the border, it's been 60, 70 some years. They're still trying to get a $200 meat raffle.
It is kind of crazy. What turpitude too? You've been slaying the. I don't know if you're playing Wordle back there, but I love.
We may have played Scrabble at family game
night.
Like
that is a bit right now today.
A little bingo.
Yeah.
But Ronnie, what do you think of the White Earth Nation with the big casino in Moorhead? $177 million.
And this falls to the point that Patrick is making. There are a lot of people in the nonprofit world across the river who are very, very concerned about the impact that may have on their gaming and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe there'll be some evidence at some point presented to me the other way, but I enjoy gaming of all types.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to donate to a local casino. I'm more than happy to donate to a local nonprofit baseball team, a volunteer firefighter group. I'm happy to buy a raffle ticket. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I'll game wherever it is.
I don't think you need to donate to a casino. I think they're doing okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, so I wish somebody had told me that before
I lost last week.
District 13, Austin Schauer, you've got a sort of event coming up on June 9th. Is that something that people should go out and vote?
Oh, it's happening June 9th.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
That's a primary. People should get out and vote. I know there's not a whole lot going on in West Fargo. There's our race, certainly. But we want people to get out and vote. There's no question about that. And the door-to-door, I mean, talk to a lot of people. Oh, I don't usually, you know, go out and vote. But
it's
important.
Senator Lee says she's going to get to almost every house in her district.
I love it.
Well, she's
twice. Let's go twice, Austin. Get out there.
She's got energy like unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. Austin, thank you so much. Austin Schauer, everybody, one of my favorite human beings. Thank you so much for being here on the Jay Thomas Show. Up next, we got Stephanie Manassas. She's going to talk to us about a documentary she's doing about World War II vets. Next on the Jay Thomas Show.
Custom Truck and Auto Shine Time Check 406. It is the Jay Thomas Show, guest hosted by Patrick Kirby. We're in the final hour for a long Memorial Day weekend, and I am going to be catching. I watch this concert observance every year, Patrick. It is the Memorial Day concert from the National Mall.
Yes.
In Washington, D.C., hosted by Joe Mantegna and Gary Sinise. You'll see it live at 7 o'clock our time, and then they replay it immediately after that.
What a great segue to our next guest, by the way.
And a little Glenn Miller, Army Air Force in the mood.
I was for some bugle. What's the bugle boy?
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B.
We can come out of break with that one. Just say. Welcome, everybody. Patrick Kirby sitting in for Jay Thomas today. I am so excited for our next guest. I have known Stephanie for 2 years now at this point. And here's the thing. She's a filmmaker, a documentarian. Is that the right term? Okay. All right. And is doing a documentary called Marked by Grace. And here's the whole synopsis. I will let you give more details, but this is why I fell in love with not only you as a human being, but as your project, which is talking about, it's a documentary on World War II veterans, right? Talking about compassion on the battlefield. And what a bizarre concept in the theater of war, where compassion becomes the thing that you're concentrating on. I've seen a lot of documentaries. Ronnie and I are going to go and settle up on the couch on Monday to go watch the World War II new Tom Hanks thing that's getting released on Monday. We're excited about that. This is a concept that is so, I'm going to say, bizarre in the pantheon of documentaries, and I'm so excited for you to talk about this to everyone listening. Stephanie, welcome to the Jay Thomas Show. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for inviting me, Patrick.
I am so excited. So what did I get wrong? Give us a synopsis. How on earth did you come up with this as a concept for a documentary in our own backyard here in Fargo?
Well, the documentary Marked by Grace is about compassion between enemies on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And specifically in the 1990s, I was living in Wisconsin and heard two stories of compassion on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. One of them was a German soldier who found himself on the battlefield badly wounded. Blood was oozing out into the snow. It was in the middle of the winter. He looked up at the sky and he saw an American face over him. And he thought that was his last moment on this earth. And the American soldier grabbed him by the scruff of his uniform and dragged him several hundred feet down the battlefield to the German lines and left him to be found by his comrades. He was found by his comrades, and he then went into the hospital for 2 months. Now, this was at the end of the war when Hitler was desperate for men on the battlefield, and he was told that he had to go back out and fight. But he had a moral dilemma, Patrick, because he had an American save his life, and he did not want to go back out and fight, but he had to, otherwise he would have been shot and killed.
Right.
He went back out and fought, and then years later, he had a teenage son who he told his son, I want you to go to America to find out how good Americans are. And his teenage son went to Wisconsin and was a foreign exchange student. And I heard this story from the family that he lived with.
What was the other story that led you down this path? Because hearing the story is amazing. Like, that's wow, that sounds like a movie, right? Out of the gate, that sounds like a movie. But then it's a documentary about that. What got you to just spark that? Because that's a crazy, I like this story. I want to do a documentary on it. That's a big leap from cool to this is what I'm going to spend the next number of years doing.
Exactly. Let me share the second story.
Please.
The second story was there was a German couple that lived on our corner in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. And the gentleman was in the army in Africa during World War II. And I called them one day and said, can I please come and talk to you about World War II? They were very, very reluctant. And I went into the house and the wife told me the only thing she said is they had been brainwashed to believe that Jews were less than during the war. And then the husband told me one thing, and the only thing he told me was is that when they were not in combat in the desert in Africa and they came across an Allied tank, they would stop and share cigarettes and water. And I was really blown away by this, Patrick, because this was completely not my understanding of what war was all about.
Right.
So these two stories stuck with me for many years, and I was actually going to write a book and try to find 15 stories of compassion between enemies on the battlefield in World War II, which was finding 15 needles in a haystack.
Sure.
And I had a very good friend whose daughter was very intuitive, and she told me on the phone once, Stephanie, I see you making a documentary. And I was on the phone completely dumbfounded because I had no formal training in filmmaking. And I hung up the phone and then I sat on it for about 6 months and I thought, you know what? I need to make this into a documentary. If I'm going to do this, I need to get it on camera, not just have a written word of it.
It's got to be very difficult to not only find veterans at this point of World War II. We were just talking about, I think, the last... gentleman from
in the last few months, I think the last survivor of the USS Arizona just passed
away at 105 or 104,
103 or something,
Like that. It's crazy. So how do you go about finding not only veterans in general who would be willing to speak about it, which I think is part of this, their culture and that Greatest Generation, they just didn't talk about it mostly, but how do you go about finding specific stories about compassion on a battlefield? What questions are you asking that is coming up in conversation? Because I'm fascinated by that.
My very first story was very divinely timed. I actually, this is back in 2011, 2012. This is how long I've been working on this project. And I had a conversation with the universe and I said, listen, if you want me to do this project, I need to have a story.
Yep.
2 weeks later, I was going to the Memorial Day event, which at the time was at the Riverside Cemetery in Fargo. And ahead of me on the sidewalk, I saw a gentleman with a World War II POW cap on. I ran up to him, Patrick, and I started engaging him. And he told me about his time in the military. And within 15 minutes, he told me a story of compassion on the battlefield. His name is Dr. Morris Bonnemeyer. He is still alive in Fargo at 101 years old. And the other story I found through an article through my mom, but actually I have 5 stories in this documentary and the last 3 I just found in the last 3 years.
Unbelievable.
So had I finished the documentary 4 or 5 years ago, I would not have had the breadth and depth of stories that I have now.
It's incredible. When you come across some of these stories, again, we want you to save all the good stories for the documentary. We want you to, like, people to go out and see this eventually. But is there anything that is a through line that you have found or something that each one of these individuals seemingly has when it comes to compassion or comes to understanding or self-awareness about how the world works? Is there something that you've just, that every one of these people that you are interviewing has in common that you just like, okay, this is the type of person who, if they ever find themselves on the battlefield, have this inkling of like, oh, maybe this isn't the answer to all of our problems, I guess.
Yeah, the common thread I would say is that when these men are on the battlefield, they're trained, first of all, that usually the enemy is less than, are pigs, are not human. And they have this moment when they realize that the other person is just another human being. And they're able to see above the battlefield to the human heart and the human condition and realize that there's something much greater than what's happening on the battlefield.
Yeah. It's interesting. Ronnie and I were talking about this, too. My son and I watched All Quiet on the Western Front. And the remake, if you haven't seen it in the last couple of years, is breathtakingly horrifying. I mean, it gives you a real good idea of what trench warfare is. But there's a scene towards the end of the movie as our protagonist is reluctant to go back into battle and finds himself in a pit, and he fights this sort of French soldier. He's a German soldier. He's fighting a French soldier. And there is there is a moment of, I've made a mistake by attacking this individual. And you see in this wave of emotion, now he tries to save him after he attacked him kind of thing, where this sense of humanity comes over everything. And I think that when I saw that movie, I thought of your film and I go, this is going to be such an outstanding series of events to give people that perspective. Like, oh, I didn't know. Or, you know, you see war on TV and you see fighting and you're like, well, that's kind of nice. But we are sort of, you know, used to violence in movies and sort of things. The humanity of it, I think, is key. I have an inkling that people watching this film are going to have a newfound understanding and respect for just general humans after they see it, because it's framed in the theater of war, that you're supposed to be enemy bad, we good. Let's go fight to the death because we are righteous in our movement. I think it's going to be a humanizing effect much more than I think you think it's going to be. I really do think that.
Yeah, I really think that you're right and that it will be very humanizing. And I'm really hoping that it will also get people to think about their own lives and where they can lay down their weapons in their own life.
You're going to be one of those keynote speakers coming up hot with that as a moment. So, but making a film is weird. Like, you don't have a film background. You don't have any degree in like art direction or anything. The idea of like, you should go make a documentary, to you saying yes. What on earth do you have to do to make this a thing? Like, what are the steps? Give me some steps.
Well, my first step was when I had the first story about Dr. Bonnemeyer was finding a good director of photography. Mm-hmm. And I found one out of Philadelphia, or actually out of Pittsburgh, rather, who came out and filmed. And mm-hmm. he helped give me kind of the ground step knowledge that I didn't have. So my biggest St. Patrick is I have surrounded myself with an award-winning filmmaking team to make up for the fact that this is my first show at the rodeo. And I also have been taking online classes in LA at an online film school. It's not for credit classes, but just non-credit classes that sure. I'm taking. There's also a Women Make Movies out of New York where I take classes with them as well. And so those classes, along with surrounding myself with an amazing team, have made me put together a really incredible product.
The audacity of just doing it, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it anyway, is amazing. I've always loved that about you, by the way. This is you and I have talked off air and have had a lot of conversations about how to fundraise for the film and how to get producers on, et cetera. I've always thought that, like, oh, I'm just going to do it. That attitude is so great. And so I just appreciate you that. What's been the biggest challenge, and outside of fundraising and just making sure that the film is funded in general, what's been the biggest challenge so far as you have made this?
I would say the biggest challenge outside of fundraising has been patience. Mm. Because the project has taken me many, many years, and I know that there are some people who are like, why is it taking so long? And yet, like I said, if I had not just listened to spirit, to God, and took the time that I needed, I would have never found these last three stories the last couple years. So I think it's been patience and just trusting that this will unfold as it is meant to unfold.
Right. You've been involved or had some conversations with some interesting Hollywood types. We just mentioned a couple that were going to be on the mall itself on Monday doing some of the weekend festivities there as well.
Lieutenant Dan.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you get to have some of those conversations or be in front of really cool humans. We won't name drop, but you have had some really fun things. What's been the toughest thing about opening doors? Or have you found it tough to open doors about this conversation itself, about, you know, coming at it from the perspective of compassion rather than what is typically done in the World War II docs of just violence, we're good, they're bad? Has there been sort of like some interesting unexpected conversations you've had with people about this film?
Typically what I get is people are really kind of a little wowed by the whole concept.
Yes.
And they are very curious about it. And I'm always kind of curious as to how the veterans will respond to the idea, but the veterans really are on board and respond to it. A lot of our support is from the veterans organizations in the area and in North Dakota, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so I am very, very grateful for the response that we get from the groups in the area. And yeah, so are we going to talk about Peter Coyote now?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I want you to talk about it. I was hoping you'd bring it up.
So some people may recognize the name Peter Coyote, but some people may not. Peter Coyote is an accomplished actor. Mm-hmm. He was in E.T. He was the scientist in E.T. from many, many years ago. He was also a lawyer in Aaron Brockovich. Mm-hmm. So he's a very accomplished actor, but what he's most famous for is his narration. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever watched a Ken Burns documentary, about 70% of them are narrated by Peter Coyote.
Yes. And he's on this documentary.
He's doing our narration, exactly.
Unreal.
Oh, that's incredible.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, because he's, a couple of the Ken Burns that I've watched, the one about the birth of country music is narrated by him. And it's one of my favorites, yeah.
So good.
Yes.
When you said that out loud, and it took me a while to like have it register in my brain, I go, I know somebody who's going to know somebody who's going to be like... I'm living my 3 degrees of separation between somebody really, really cool, and you're my access point to this, so I just wanted to congratulate you on that. But so how did that come to be? How on earth do you pull that one off?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I didn't know who Peter Coyote was. So actually, I called the woman that I take classes with in L.A., and I said, I'm looking for a really good narrator. And she said, contact Peter Coyote. Here's his agent. So I went to his agent, and I
need to ask more people for like how. Hey, I need a cell number of like really cool people. Like, oh, here it is.
Well, I was going to say. I mean, that is probably easily like the one of the top two tier. The other one would have been, yes. May I speak to Mike Rowe, please?
Yeah.
And, yeah. So
yeah. So I went to his agent, mm-hmm. and his agent gave me a price that I could not work with at all. And somehow I got Peter Coyote's direct email. And I start emailing him, and then halfway through the emails back and forth, I thought, I should Google this man.
That is hilarious.
And the minute I saw his photo, Patrick, I recognized him from movies.
Sure.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is famous, and it's probably a good thing I didn't know who he was, because I'm not sure I would have reached out to him in the first place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we came to an agreement, and he was very gracious. He did our narration for our first go at a rough draft a few years ago. He's got our narration on our website, zenlilyfilms.com. There's a little 3.5-minute trailer where you can hear his narration. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find our website, the best thing to do is just Google World War II plus Fargo, North Dakota, and I'll come up right off the bat. World
Look
War II plus Fargo, North Dakota.
Whoever's rocking your SEO is, you pay them extra dollars mm-hmm. there. I like that a lot. So let's go back to fundraising, because I think this is the final push to finishing the film itself is on, right? We are in the home stretch. You mentioned that you're like, I've got producer titles available. And I was like, what is that? She's like, well, for certain, levels of production, you get to put your name on the film. And I was like, how cool of a bit is that? So you are in the fundraising realm. And if you donate to the film in certain categories, you get to have a producer title of a documentary. Is that true? Officially true?
It is true. It is true. That's how it works. So
how
basically
fun.
You can be an associate producer all the way up to an executive producer, anywhere for a donation between $25,000 and $100,000. Mm-hmm. And you can be in the filmmaking business and have your name on a film.
I know a lot of nonprofits, and I know a lot of, here, go with the gold sponsor level, or a go here, has a bronze sponsor medal. At no point in time have I ever come up with any ideas as great as become an executive producer of an official film as a donation level. And I think it's brilliant. I love it.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. And so when you're looking for the type of person who would be interested in something like that, who is this person? Give me a describe the human being that would be interested in becoming an executive or junior producer on a documentary film.
Somebody who's passionate about history.
Yep.
Somebody who's passionate about learning about war. Mm-hmm. Somebody may also be very just passionate about compassion.
Yes.
Compassion and peace and forgiveness, and have a real inkling towards a project like this.
And you have a short snippet of the film already, right? Is that on your website?
It's on the website, zenlilyfilms.com.
And when you show this to both veterans and non-veterans alike, what's the initial reaction that people give you?
people find it very moving. I have some people that it's brought to tears.
And, in a preview, by the way.
Yeah, in a 3.5-minute stretch. I've had it bring people to tears before. And people are very intrigued by something that hasn't been done before.
Yeah. It's the thing that when you and I spoke originally and you kind of threw up this concept, I had never heard of this as a perspective in any documentary, right? On finding some sort of commonality between your enemy, which I think is just an amazing way of going about this. I am super proud of you. This is not easy. And I use audacious a lot. I think that's kind of a word that I probably overuse is like awesome. But you are both audacious and awesome. And so I will use both of those because they are very tied to you. I say how we get a hold of you again. And where can I go to donate? If you've got a giant sack of money and you also want to be an executive producer, where, Stephanie, do we go to give you that gigantic sack of money and become an executive producer?
You can go to zenlilyfilms.com, or it's easier to just Google World War II documentary plus Fargo, North Dakota, and you'll find my website right on the top.
I love all that. What is the thing you're most looking forward to after this film is done? And you can't say being done with the film.
I am actually wanting to do the same concept for the Vietnam War. It's a totally different war. I have no idea how I'd pull it off, but that's my second project on my docket.
It's my favorite things. And then I would really like you to start thinking about where you're going to do your launch party. Like, where is that going to be? Is it going to be at the historical Fargo Theater? Is it going to be at a VFW? Is it going to be at an Allegiant? Where are we hosting this?
Yeah, Post 21, Moorhead American Legion. I would reach out to them.
I feel like we got some connections here.
All righty. It'll definitely have something at the Fargo Theater for sure downtown.
I think it's a great bit there, too. Stephanie, thank you so much, not only for putting this out into the world, but for being an amazing human being and being here on the Jay Thomas Show with me.
Thanks for inviting me, Patrick.
You're the best. All right, up next in the second half of the hour, Michelle Turnberg joins us here on the Jay Thomas Show.
4:37, the Custom Truck and Auto Shine time check. Final segment of the Jay Thomas Show. It is Memorial Day Monday, the observance happening for Memorial Day. And as a result, special programming here on WDAY. The Jay Thomas Show returns in its normal time slot Tuesday. Guest hosted today by Patrick Kirby. It is a Fry K,
yes,
as we've been calling it today.
Yes. So, yeah. It's going to stick, I'm telling you. That's my new Friday bits. Fry K at the Jay Thomas
Show. Is it trending? Like, I don't know. I just in the back of my head now, I'm hearing that's so fetch.
I have not.
Let's see, you know. Is it
so
trending?
I feel as if we're not trending on X, we should.
Okay.
And I'll make sure that I hashtag a bunch of stuff, and then we will make it happen.
Yeah.
Breaking news for those of you who are baseball fans, it is official. The Red Hawks have canceled their home opener as of today.
It's postponed. Coming down
postponed. Yes. Not canceled. Postponed.
Yeah. Sounds like, we have not heard the official announcement yet. Sounds as though they may try for a potential doubleheader tomorrow.
Let's go. That's how you kick off a baseball season right there, doubleheader. Also, not breaking news, but very interesting rumor, Ronnie. I don't know if you've heard about this, but apparently, and I need someone to fact check me. Apparently, there is a mayoral race in Fargo.
I'm told,
a little birdie told me that there's something going on here electoral speaking, and I figured I'd go to the source. So we have as our final guest on the Jay Thomas Show, Michelle Turnberg. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you?
It's been a while since we have bumped into each
other. I know. I'm trying to think the last time.
It's
maybe Dilworth?
Maybe. It's been a while.
It's been a while, but I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm very happy that you are here as well. We get to talk a little bit about the Fargo mayoral race, which is kind of fun.
Heating up.
An addendum to that conversation, I believe it's next Thursday night, by the way.
Is that
the mayoral debate right here on these same airwaves?
Boy, it's as if this was made into the stars here, right there. I have a question for you, and I think I need to start with this framework is there are people who could run for office, and then there are people who do run for office. what on earth possesses you as a person who does a lot of stuff, right? Whatever. Running for mayor is a crazy person's idea. It's just in the idea, like that's insane. Why?
It is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. No, you don't have to do this. You don't have to at all be a part of this race. And I find it fascinating that you said yes, or that you're doing this. So if nobody has heard of anything about you as a human being, I think a great question was like, why Fargo mayor? You don't need this, and this is unnecessary in your life.
But
you did it, and I love it. But why? Why on earth did you choose this, which is not the easiest of paths to run?
No, it's not easy, and it is a lot of work, mm-hmm. but it's very fulfilling. And I think the reason is because you get to meet mm-hmm. so many different people from so many walks of life, so many different professions, backgrounds, just crazy. I mean, I was just with a general. I was with a business owner earlier today. I was with a nonprofit prior to that. And just the vast difference of these people all making our community better mm-hmm. and wanting it to be a better Fargo. It's fascinating, and it fills my cup.
And like, I think individuals who vote in the primary and who vote early and who are super engaged have a different level of interest in bettering communities. And regardless of where you stand on whatever issue it is, I think the general attitude, and this is what I wish politics was more like, was, okay, we disagree on a whole host of things, but at least the baseline is we all think that this community can be better, should be better, is better.
Amen.
Like, what is it? Like, there's your starting line.
Yep.
Everything else is negotiable. It gets a little off the rails sometime, which is kind of interesting. But how has your perspective on that as a thing changed or tweaked since you made your announcement and said you're going to run? Like, the perspective of just everybody wanting to make the community better.
I don't know that my perspective has changed much since deciding to enter the race. I've been on the city commission for 2 years mm-hmm. now and thoroughly enjoyed it. It can be, I mean, you have a target on your back. People either love you, or despise you. Just really bad.
Like, but here's the other thing, too. Like, I think they don't necessarily, they're the loudest voices.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it's always people who's, they'll, you know, and of course, social media, we're in such a different mm-hmm. age. And in many ways, it's good. In many ways, it's poison.
Yep.
And what I notice and when I see like bad comments, and it truly doesn't bother me, like some people, it would mortify them. Right. And sometimes I get a kick out of it and I'll show my friends. I'll be like, can you believe they said this about me? But, you know, I feel like water off a duck's back, yeah. really. But the people that are the most hateful have no idea what kind of person I am.
Yeah.
And if they knew me, they just wouldn't say things like that.
Well, and they also say it behind a computer screen.
Yes.
And that's that's very brave.
Yes.
And very, very brave of them to do so, which I think is very nice. So it'd be different if like they came up to you like, you know what I don't like about you.
I would almost appreciate that. I can tell you, no one has ever come up to me and said anything mean or rude.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually people that, I mean, I get hugs out of the blue sometimes.
Sure.
It's positive in real life, but in storybook land social media, then it's kind of, you know, you're much tougher behind a keyboard.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
It takes a special breed to do those things. I mean,
it really does.
I am probably very unlike Michelle. I monitor very closely who's on and who isn't on my Facebook, all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And everyone I have on that page knows full well that I don't say anything on my page that I wouldn't say to your face.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So, but there for are sure. people out there, to your point, mm-hmm. that have just all the gusto and will say anything they want without
terrible.
Any evidence of it being true. But they won't come up, hey, because you offer that on your page a number of time.
Call me, meet with me.
We'll go have a cup of coffee and discuss the issues that are important to you. and they don't take you up on that offer, but they vilify you on social media.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I think they don't take up on the offer first of all, they don't. They probably don't believe half of it. They're just trolling for the sake of trolling. I think part of that, too, is I'm really afraid that she's going to be a delightful human being. I feel like there's part of it just being afraid that, like, oh, I'm going to like her. I'm going to like her a lot after I meet her for coffee.
Or in this day and age of the political process, it's a strong, powerful woman who has conservative values, is gaining traction with a wide swath of people, and is now seen as a threat.
You're not far off from that as well. When you're in the field and you're door knocking or you're glad handing or you're in front of things, has your priority of what you want to do when you were mayor changed, or where would you put in ranking order of like I got my priorities and these are the top three,
yep,
and everything else kind of falls, and it's not like they're not important, but like I'm coming in hot for these three things. Where does that kind of align?
So absolutely, I would say number one is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thrilled with our change in leadership with the police department. I think we're on our way to having vast improvements in the city. So that's number one. Number two is core city services. And by what that means, and by what I mean by saying that, are services that you cannot provide yourself. So that's police protection. Yep. That's fire protection. That's the water that comes out of your kitchen faucet, your toilets that flush, the safe streets that you drive on, the utilities that come to your home. The city is not a fix for all of society's problems. And I think so many people think, oh, well, what are you going to do about this and this and this? That's not a core city service. And if we focus on those services and do those to the best of our ability, other things will fall into place. And my third thing is attacking our outrageous debt.
Sure.
And by focusing on core city services, keeping our city safer with our police department, hiring more officers, all of those will fall in line.
Yeah. And again, I come from the nonprofit world. That's my obsession or whatever. And I do think there is, and nonprofits exist because they understand that government can't, shouldn't, or won't do certain things.
Yes.
And I think leaning on the amazing organizations here in town and giving them the support they need and even providing some financial incentives to help make the things that the government can't do is so unbelievably critical and important. Do you think about that as you're sort of doing?
100%. And today I met with, and this organization is amazing. It's called Blame Bates.
Mm.
And I met with Ashley today, and I'm actually going to go out with her tomorrow. They're going to be serving food near City Hall, near the library, to folks who need it. Mm-hmm. But that's what we need to do, step up as citizens and help each other. Mm-hmm. We do not need bigger government. We don't need government taking more of our money in taxes and telling us more of what to do. It's time for people. The change starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make your city better, be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
I love it. I love it. Hey, Ronnie, do we have some interested parties?
Wanting some
questions? And would you be willing to take a comment or two or a call there for sure?
Yeah, I believe this is Arlene from Bertha.
Arlene, how are you today? Welcome to the Jay Thomas Show.
I am well, loving your show. You and Ronnie interact so wonderful, and I love listening to Michelle. My question for Michelle is, since I'm in Minnesota and obviously can't vote, can we get a Michelle clone to come bail us out down here?
Are you, so is it Arlene?
Yeah.
Are you from Bertha Hewitt?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I know exactly. And I believe that we played you in the high school football championships several years ago.
Yeah, yes. I know. I was just going to say.
My dad was a football coach, so I'm very well in tuned with that. But I know exactly where Bertha is. And yes, I would love to help out Minnesota. But man, oh man, you guys need some help. You do? I'm a Minnesota girl.
We need some more prayers. Are you? Oh, it's so. We love it. We're up here in Rocks and Cows. And people go, oh, Minneapolis. No, I haven't been to Minneapolis in years. No. We're not like that.
I'm a rocking cow as well, you know, by birth.
Okay, well, best wishes to you. Good luck. I hope you pull it home.
Thank you, my dear. Appreciate it.
I love it. See?
A lot of buildings right now available for sale in Minneapolis.
Go by, yeah. I wonder if you can get them on cheap. That'd be kind of nice.
Probably 10 cents on the dollar, I'm guessing. Yeah.
What have you found the most... you've run for city commission, right? You've been on there for two years, right? What's the big difference between running for that and running for mayor? What has been like the most... besides the... here's all the bells and whistles and all the press. But what's been the biggest difference in running from these two particular positions?
I think, I have more help, which is wonderful. I have a good group of people helping me out with volunteering and organizing and putting together events. Mm-hmm. Because I have two jobs, and the commission job is actually more like a full-time job and not a part-time job. So, I would say having more help, and we have a lot of people offering to volunteer their time. So when we go out and are door knocking, not in today's weather, but we've got people lining up to wanting to help do that, and it's just amazing.
And speaking of lining up to not only help, but I think for celebrating early voting, is it next week already or a week and a half Tuesday?
It is sneaking up.
I thought Tim had Sarah Heinle on. I thought she said June 2nd.
June 2nd is the thing, yeah.
So guess what, Ronnie? We're having a party to kick off early voting.
I like parties.
So it's our... election kickoff party. It's going to be Tuesday the 2nd from 6 p.m. until 10. Mm-hmm. All ages are welcome at Excalibur Entertainment. And if you're not sure where that is, it's 707 28th Avenue North.
Love it.
So we're doing it up in North Fargo. And it'll be great. We're going to have bowling, free pizza, arcade games, and we'll have a lot of not only myself, Chad Peterson, Scott Brecky, Paul Moore. We've got all the candidates that will be there, conservative candidates, and we would love for you to come out. Love to celebrate the kickoff to voting. Make sure everyone is either voting early or ready to vote June 9th.
I love it. What's the process of voting early? If somebody has a question like, hey, I want to do that. I'm not going to be around on the 9th because I've got something else to do. I got kids games and I know I'm going to be busy with work. What's the process of early voting? How do you do that?
I know there are several places that you can go vote. I believe the Fargo Dome. I don't have them all. I don't remember all of them. I believe Fargo First, the Facebook group, did post that a little bit ago, so you could scroll through there and see the different areas where you can vote. Mm-hmm. But it's slick. You there's no lines. It's easy peasy. You're in and out. You get it done. I kind of like the pomp and circumstance of Election Day.
It's kind of fun to go in there. And you're like, yes.
Pay close attention and make sure you're going to those places, City of Fargo, to find out, because Sarah mentioned that there will be 15 as opposed to 16 polling places. There's a couple that are a little different because one, I believe, is it Northview Church or North? One of them is under construction.
Oh,
that is
boy.
A regular polling place. So they moved it to a different location. So
double check.
Make sure you know where to vote.
Yes. And also, if you want more information, turnbergformayor.com is our website. You can learn more about my platform. If you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like to donate, all of that is all in one place at turnbergformayor.com.
I love that. Well, again, I, as someone who ran for office very young in his life.
And I heard your story.
Yeah, it's...
Way to win the district.
One precinct. Yeah. I won one precinct.
Oh, precinct, yes.
No, it wasn't the district. It was definitely
Excellent.
Just a solo precinct.
Well,
and I'm still going to hold my hat on that one.
Glass half full, you won.
You got to start somewhere.
I won life in turning my life around and doing fundraising for the
rest
of eternity.
And your mom had that interesting...
Yeah.
Door knock.
I've traumatized her, which is great.
He forever became known as the full frontal candidate.
It's well played, Ronnie. I love everything. But it's I use the term a lot today, but the audacity to run is something extraordinary. And again, I will reiterate, and I believe in this with everything. Everyone who's trying to run is doing it for the right reasons to make our community better. Thank you so much for being on, Michelle. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Ronnie. We'll see you next time here on the Jay Thomas Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.